are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again, and we are getting close to kickoff. We are pre-week one now. We're in regular season mode. Roster is set. Talked a lot about the 53 yesterday, and we're going to continue to talk about that tomorrow with Nick and get into a little bit of stuff today, probably, because it is a Mailbag Tuesday podcast here on Locked On 49ers. The first segment, though, I've got to talk a lot about Jerick McKinnon and his ACL injury. Jerick McKinnon out for the year. The running back position now is really in focus here as we head toward the regular season because there's a lot of question marks, and I see a lot of questions already about the running back position in the mailbag, so it's going to be a running back heavy episode here, but I'm going to talk about Jerick McKinnon and the loss there and how big or maybe not as big of a loss as maybe you might think it is. And of course, get into the mailbag for segments two and three here on today's show. Tomorrow, we're going to have Nick Winkler, as we usually do, and we are going to have our season predictions episode and talk about week one against the Vikings, and then the week one preview show on Thursday with Jordan Reed, who was for a short time the host of Locked On Vikings. He's our Vikings expert, and we will get into everything Vikings and 49ers and preview that week one matchup, which is going to be, man, it's going to be a contest for the 49ers. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's the best place to get these mailbag questions in. You can also email the podcast, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, and keep those questions coming in because we'll probably dip into the mailbag a little bit on Wednesday, as we usually do with Mr. Nick Winkler before or maybe after we do our season predictions. So one major loss already for the 49ers before the season even begins. The guy who was handpicked by Kyle Shanahan to be his starting running back in 2018, Jerick McKinnon. It was a big money signing from the Minnesota Vikings, who ironically is their first opponent in week one. He's done for the year, torn ACL on a non-contact, the last rep of practice, making a cut against air, as they call it, which means it's a non-contact injury. He was just making a cut, and it was that right knee where they thought he had a knee injury a couple weeks ago that made him sit out the last three preseason games, and it was a upper calf injury. And I wonder if those are related, you know, because now he comes down with this ACL tear. But, man, it's a big blow because that's your starting running back. Anytime you lose a starting player before the season even starts, that hurts. Now, on Twitter, I said the 49ers are going to be fine. And I had multiple people being like, what are you talking about? 49ers can't be fine losing their starting running back, this dynamic element. And yes, they're going to lose a big element of their offense, a dynamic pass-catching element, which was the reason Kyle Shanahan really loved Jerick McKinnon and the reason he brought him in. But let's not pretend like the 49ers just lost Le'Veon Bell or, you know, like what happened with the Cowboys last year and having Zeke Elliott out for a long time. I don't think it's that. It's not going to be that kind of an impact because Jerick McKinnon was still, in my mind, one of the question marks where it was, we still weren't sure what exactly we were going to get with Jerick McKinnon because he's never been in the league back. And the Minnesota Vikings, they weren't really super worried about losing Jerick McKinnon. And that's not to take anything away from Jerick McKinnon, but he's never been that lead back. And so when I was asked this question during a mailbag episode earlier in the summer about what players might disappoint, I actually mentioned Jerick McKinnon as one of those guys just because the jury was still out. We still weren't exactly sure what he's going to look like in the offense. We saw him run the ball, what, three or four times for negative yardage in that first preseason game. Not necessarily his fault because the offensive line was not playing well at that point. And hopefully the offensive line will be playing a lot better or nobody will be getting yards in that backfield. But the 49ers went out and signed Alfred Morris. So they have a veteran running back that they at least know can run the football. You know, and he's done it with Kyle Shanahan with some major success back in 2012 and 2013 when Shanny was running the offense for the Washington football team. And maybe he doesn't have as much tread on his tires with a lot of NFL carries, but Alfred Morris, man, in those preseason games, looked good. He looked fluid. He looked decisive. He looked like a professional running back. And so at least the 49ers can hang their hat on knowing for sure they have a professional running back that can carry a load, that has proven he can carry a load for an NFL offense. He hasn't been involved a lot as a receiving running back ever in his career, even with Kyle Shanahan earlier in his career. Matt Breida caught, 27 balls last year, and he had 6 drops, which is among the most in the NFL for running backs on only those, 30-something targets, 33, 34 targets or whatever it was. So, you know, not the most aspiring numbers there for Matt Breida being a really big third down sort of receiving back. So to me, that tells me if you're looking to throw to a running back, a lot of that might start going to Kyle Juszczyk, and they sign him to be that OW. So he can do a lot of those things. I think they still will be able to at least dump the ball off to the other running backs that are on the roster, but they might not be that dynamic receiving threat and have that. Breida does have some long speed, but Alfred Morris obviously doesn't. So less dynamic offense, maybe less options for Kyle Shanahan. And I think one of the things he talked about in the offseason about his running backs and why he liked Kyle Juszczyk and why he liked Jerick McKinnon was that you can have the same personnel on the field and the defense doesn't know if you're going to run the ball smash mouth style or if you're going to pass the ball. And so that one element is definitely lost a little bit more, you know, not completely, but it is lost a little bit more when you plug in Alfred Morris or Matt Breida in there. But I really think that just if you're talking about early downs, just running the football, I don't think the 49ers lost a ton between going from Jerick McKinnon to Alfred Morris. And the way that I have a feeling it's going to shake out is that the timeshare between what was going to be Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida will probably be similar. And I think Alfred Morris probably jumps Matt Breida and becomes the lead back, and then Breida becomes the change of pace. So if you're looking at the Atlanta Falcons offense under Kyle Shanahan, you're going to have Alfred Morris running the Devontae Freeman portion of the offense, and then you'll have Matt Breida, who's the change of pace guy, and the second back, it's sort of the Tevin Coleman of the 49ers offense. That's the way I think it might go, and it'll probably be a lot different, or, you know, they're different backs, and Kyle Shanahan's not going to just, the way he runs things on offense isn't like, well, this is how I do it, two backs, this is the roles. And it's not like that at all. So he's going to utilize the talent he has on the field. So I think as far as the receiving goes, a lot of Jerick McKinnon's targets are going to get spread out to both Alfred Morris and Matt Breida, and maybe he'll just go with the hot hand between those two running backs. Who knows? They both, you know, need to stay healthy as well. And then the 49ers start to have a roster crunch. Raheem Mostert, obviously, is going to be the number 3 back and be more of a special teams demon than someone who makes a huge impact on offense. But I've liked what I've seen from him, as, you know, in the preseason and in his short tenure with the 49ers. I don't have a problem with Raheem Mostert getting some carries either. But look, the bottom line to me is, and I was excited to see what Jerick McKinnon was going to bring to Kyle Shanahan's offense and how he was going to use him, because obviously he targeted him in free agency for a reason and paid him a lot more than I think a lot of people expected. It's kind of like Kyle Juszczyk, similar story. And I was excited to see how he was going to use him, but I think it was more a matchup problem, more of, like I mentioned before, where you can have the same personnel on the field, the defense doesn't know if you're going to run or pass the ball. So I think Kyle Shanahan loses some of those elements, maybe loses some dynamic speed in the open field from Jerick McKinnon when you're talking about going from Jerick McKinnon to, say, Alfred Morris. But maybe those tough yards are actually going to be easier for the 49ers to get with Alfred Morris instead. Jerick McKinnon is still a guy who only averaged 3.8 and 3.4 yards per carry his last two seasons with the Vikings. So we're not talking about a stalwart. We're not talking about an all-pro running back here. He wasn't a major focal point of the Vikings offense for a reason. And obviously it's a different offense, different coaches. And I don't think he was going to turn out to be I don't think he was going to put up Devontae Freeman type numbers with the 49ers. I wasn't completely convinced of it, but I was really curious to see what that looked like. And now we're not going to get a chance to see Jerick McKinnon in Kyle Shanahan's offense, at least in 2018. But like I mentioned on Twitter, and I took a little bit of flack for it, but I stand by it. I think the 49ers right now are going to be okay at the running back position. That's one of those positions where you come into a season, you should expect some attrition. It's just a position that gets highly injured in the NFL, and you should be able to have someone who can step in and really compete at the position and give you some meaningful production and meaningful carries. And so I think the 49ers are going to have that with Alfred Morris, Matt Breida, and Raheem Mostert. Rest easy, 49ers fans. The Niners are going to be okay in 2018. At running back, you know, but cross your fingers for no more major injuries. All right, I got to dip into the mailbag here, but before I do, being that it's week 1, I got to remind you guys about MyBookie. Wonder how much that line is going to change. The Vikings already favored against the 49ers if you're looking to make a little bit of money. I think that line with Jerick McKinnon being out might even skew, you know, no Reuben Foster, that line might skew even further toward the Vikings. Maybe 49ers fans are sitting here thinking, yeah, I can put some money on this. I think the 49ers were going to upset the Vikings already. If the line moves even further, get a little bit better odds there. Maybe you want to throw some money on the 49ers side, or maybe you're thinking, okay, this is just too much. This is insurmountable, a little bit too much for this young football team week one to hit the ground running on in such a tough environment on the road against the Vikings. Maybe I need to make a little bit of money against my own team, which is okay. Your team loses, you still win. Sometimes I like to do that. Sometimes that's why I don't necessarily want to stock my fantasy football team, right, with all my favorite players, because if you do lose, it's a double downer. If you win, it's okay. By the way, my Locked On 49ers fantasy football team, Russell Wilson, I got Jared Goff on it. I've got Cooper Kupp. I do have some NFC West rivals, and I did get some guff in the chat for doing that, but I wanted to let the rest of the folks have some 49ers, although I did pick up Alfred Morris a couple weeks ago in that league. That's looking a lot better now. But moving on to MyBookie, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people about MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is so easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. With MyBookie, you win, they pay. It's very simple. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game, which is a nice wrinkle that I like. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKED when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's open up that mailbag, shall we? Let's go to Twitter to begin with. @DataNiner says, what's your thoughts on Edge leaving ourselves vulnerable, especially with Armstead's injury record? Man, this is a tough one because I really got no answer for you guys. And man, if you listen to the show, you know I've been harping on the Edge rush, and it's something I thought would be, if not the first, at least, you know, second or third in priorities in the offseason. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they seem to not really, Robert Saleh, they seem to not really be worried about the edge rush position. They didn't really attack it in free agency. They basically swapped Jeremiah Atauchu for Elvis Dumervil, Elvis Dumervil being the leading sack collector for the 49ers. And so they let him go. They bring in Atauchu, who doesn't even make the squad now. Going into week one, you've got Nzacha at Sam linebacker, who's not known as a pass rusher. He's more of a rundown type of guy. And then when they get into sub packages, you've got Cassius Marsh. You've got, I don't know, I guess they're going to leave. And that's the other thing. In sub, at least it was going to be Atauchu on the outside and then Marsh on the opposite side. And then on the inside, you'd have Buckner and Solomon Thomas, who would kick inside from end. And then a rotation of, you know, people rushing from the inside there. But now you've got to have one of those bigger ends remain outside on passing down. So if that's Solomon Thomas or if it is Arik Armstead, I'm not sure. Most likely probably Solomon Thomas, then Armstead's going to move inside and maybe rush, and they'll have the Twin Towers there rushing from inside with Armstead next to Buckner. You got Sheldon Day, you got DJ Jones, Earl Mitchell, of course, and a host of other guys. Ronald Blair did make the roster, which is nice to see, so he might get some work at defensive end as well. But Dakota Watson made this team. He's going to play some special teams, play a little Sam probably, and maybe get some time rushing the passer from the edge as well. But man, you know, here's one of the big things with it. And to answer the question, I have no idea. That's I agree. They didn't do enough with that speedy outside edge rusher in the offseason. I think it's clear. It's clear to me. But I don't think they think that way. And I think Robert Saleh, I think it might come from Robert Saleh because he talks so much about power and playing with violence and all gas, no brakes. I think he really doesn't like the idea of sort of one-dimensional finesse sort of edge rush types. He just wants to bring the heat with power and beat you up all day long. So I think that's the idea behind this 49ers defense, is they want to bring big, nasty, strong guys, and they want to break your will. They don't want to run around you. They want to run through you. And so if you have to look at what maybe could be the reason that this unit is really good getting after the quarterback is they've already had some guys, and most of the names I mentioned are players that are pretty good at pressuring the quarterback. They just haven't been able to get there and get sacks and get a lot of hits on the quarterback. And those sacks not only end drives, but they create turnovers, they create fumbles, they create bad throws. So pressuring is good. Getting to and hitting the quarterback is better. But I think if all of those players combined are able to pressure the quarterback and they're also across the board, they're young players who are developing and progressing and getting better. So maybe they're all getting a half step, a full step closer to the quarterback with their pass rushes. And then I think they really feel strongly about the new hire of the pass rush coordinator in Chris Kiffin that's going to draw up some things and they're going to blitz some and work some other ways and maybe throw some linebackers there, maybe some defensive backs at the quarterback as well that might help them get home. And that would maybe relieve, you know, some of the pressure from having one guy who's a stud guy on the outside that's beating people around the corner and getting to the quarterback that way. So that's the way I think the 49ers are looking at things. We'll see if it turns out great, turns out bad, or if in the offseason or again, we're all clamoring for the 49ers to draft an edge rusher. And I think even if it turns out well, you can't have too many pass rushers. Look what Khalil Mack just got traded for. And obviously the 49ers at least made a phone call about Khalil Mack, so they see that that kind of player can help them. But at this point, it seems like they just don't look fondly on one-dimensional finesse-type edge rushers. But then the other part of your question, yeah, Armstead's injury record, and sorry to go on and on about this one question, but I've been harping on the edge rush for the 49ers for so long, it seems like it's funny. But Armstead's injury, I think that's one thing they do have covered because they just have so many players that are bigger power ends or interior guys. If they lose someone like Armstead, I think they can fill that hole. Although I was really impressed with what I saw from Armstead. We saw a lot of the better things we saw from him early in his career before they asked him to lose weight. Now he's back up to 290s and stronger. And I liked what I saw from him in that preseason action now that he's back. But hopefully he can stay healthy, and I think that'll definitely help. To CeeLo, do you think McKinnon's injury opens the door more for Richie James, possibly even lining him up in the backfield and then send him in motion? You know, I think they can use Richie James in a lot of ways, and they kind of used him a little bit like that. They threw a couple screen passes in that last preseason game to Richie James where he was more coming out of the backfield. I did not watch that game a second time to see exactly what the formation or the play call was there, but he was definitely close to the quarterback taking these wide receiver screens or almost like a tailback screen. And I don't know if he was coming in motion on those plays or not. I should probably go look at that game again to see, because those were interesting plays. They ran twice on that drive, or very similar plays. But Richie James could do a lot of those things. And I think that's the other thing. So what I mentioned before about McKinnon and the ability to sort of disguise things and have the defense guessing and them not know what you're going to do by the personnel that's on the field. You put Richie James back there, then they kind of have an idea what you're going to do. But as far as like Kyle Shanahan drawing up plays and finding players for Jimmy Garoppolo to target in the passing game, that's not going to be the problem. Like whatever Jerick McKinnon's target numbers were going to be, they've got guys they can throw the ball to. So that's not the problem. I think disguising it more and having some flexibility there is probably the biggest thing that Kyle Shanahan loses in Jerick McKinnon. And I agree. I would love to see Richie James. First of all, he has to be able to dress on game days, so that means he's going to be playing some special teams and they have to have some packages to work him in. If he's the fifth or sixth wide receiver on the depth chart, he might not see the field a lot and might not dress at all unless he's impacting somewhere. So that would be fun to see what they can do with Richie James, and he can do those things. I mean, he was a high school quarterback. He's run the ball a lot. He ran the ball in college, ran some wildcat return. He did a lot of things. He can catch the ball from any number of places. He can run the ball a little bit. I would like to see them get a little creative with Richie James. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's go to Chris on Twitter. Playing devil's advocate, would you have given up what the Bears did for Mac? He put a hashtag Winky Wednesday on there. I'm going to save this question, Chris. And I think I have an idea where Nick is going to go with that one, but I'm going to mark this. I'll give my answer now, and I'll ask Nick tomorrow. My answer is, you know, reluctantly, I might have tried to do some other things that made it so there was fewer draft picks, but maybe a player instead, a young player. Let me put this out to the Twitter crowd, actually. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna ask Nick this question tomorrow. Let me ask you guys this. Let's say if where Dante Pettis was drafted, second round, high second round, let's say if he had that same value of that same draft pick as a trade option, would you have dropped that on the Raiders. So let's say if they asked for a first rounder and Dante Pettis, would you have made that deal? Or with, you know, basically substituting a second rounder for Dante Pettis in that trade, would you have, or having him on the roster, does that make it hurt that much more? And would you have said no to that? That's an interesting question I had, because I thought with Richie James being, you know, the guy who looked like he could make an impact early, maybe that gave them an opportunity maybe to trade someone else that might have more value. But yeah, too late now because Khalil Mack is gone to Chicago. It's crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge there. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league, the latest from the Locked On Podcast Network. Let's move the mailbag along to Smoove on Twitter, who says, yes, Smoove with a V, Alfred Morris may turn out to be a better option for this year in the run game. 4.4 yards per carry for his career and 4.8 last year could take pressure off Jimmy and make play action pass more dangerous than it already is. You know, there could be some definite advantages if Alfred Morris is just a better pure between the tackles runner, or just a better, you know, just has a more natural feel for being a running back. And that's one of them, is the play action passing. Let's say if maybe it's, you can pass better with one guy, but the defense doesn't have to respect your run game as much. So maybe let's say the 49ers turned out to not be able to run the ball as well as they had hoped with whoever was back there. Maybe it was McKinnon. Maybe he would disappoint as just an every down runner and a lead back and is dynamic as a receiver. Now you're like, okay, well, that all goes out the window because you have to equally be as good running and throwing to really get that full value that I spoke about earlier, where the defense is on their heels because they don't know if you can pass or run out of any certain package. But Alfred Morris might give you the opposite, where, okay, look, he's a good runner and we have to respect this. So play action then starts to work a little bit better. So yeah, again, like I mentioned before, I think the 49ers are going to be fine. And Smoove, you make a great point. If Alfred Morris is a more efficient running back, that could definitely help the offense in other ways, even if he's not as dynamic. Let's go to Zach on Twitter. He says, as the roster stands, where do you see us most likely seeking to improve outside of the 53 we have now? Sam, strong safety, running back, O-line depth, all of the above? I don't see the 49ers really doing much. I think they're pretty much done. I mean, they have all offseason to figure things out, right? There's not like some emergency lever you can pull and just pull somebody who's really productive out of nowhere. Maybe there are some trades they had in the works and that could still happen, but it starts to take a little while to learn, especially an offensive scheme. A defense is probably a little bit easier to jump into. But the 49ers have what they have, and I think that's where they're at. I mean, they did add a couple of guys. Strong safety, they did bring Antoine Exum back after they put Jerick McKinnon on IR. Added offensive lineman Matt Tobin as well. And by the way, a couple of 49ers did finally catch on to some practice squads. Jeremiah Taushu actually got signed with the Jets. Corey Toomer with the Packers. They had some injuries at linebacker. Cole Hikutini signed to the Vikings practice squad, which is a little curious. I wonder if they're just trying to get a little inside information on their week one opponent there. And Jeremy McNichols signed to the Colts practice squad. So a couple of ex-Niners are out there around the league now. Most of those Niners weren't Niners for very long. But to answer your question, Zach, yeah, the 49ers are done. The 49ers 53 is where it is, and there's not going to be any major acquisitions that I could see. There could still be some things that happen. You never know. Maybe there's some catastrophic injury and the 49ers feel like they have to do something big and bring somebody in. But I'd be surprised. I mean, this is the roster. This is the 2018 49ers. They're ready to go. Let's go to Daniel. Shout out from the Bluegrass State. Bluegrass State, is that Kentucky, right? Yeah, Kentucky is the Bluegrass State, I think. Sorry, Daniel, if I'm wrong about that. And apologies to everybody in Kentucky and the real Bluegrass State, if that's not right. I think that's right. He says, what kind of numbers will we be expecting from Breida this season, given Jets' injury? I think not far off of what Breida did last year. I really liked Breida in the role he had last year, being the number two guy. And he was the number two to Carlos Hyde most of the year, got a little bit more run at the end of the year, so maybe he deserves a little bit more. But, you know, he's not the biggest guy. He's already gotten his shoulder hurt in the preseason. He's had a series of shoulder injuries in college. So I wouldn't want to put too much on his plate. I think it's a really nice changeup to go from Alfred Morris to Matt Breida. So, you know, maybe alternate some series here and there, utilize speed when you think you need it. But I wouldn't want to thrust him into the full role. That's why I thought probably be Alfred Morris being more of the lead back and then Matt Breida being the secondary guy, because I think that really fits Matt Breida. And since he's not like such a great, you know, he's not like a massive upgrade as a pass catcher to some of the other backs, to Alfred Morris even, and might be a little bit better receiver than Alfred Morris, but maybe not a lot. I don't think it's necessarily needs to be a situation where one guy's a third down back or anything like that. So I would say more of a changeup, like you go two series with Morris, then you go a series with Breida. And then maybe if whatever Breida is throwing out there is working better, then you keep Breida in the game and sort of it goes like that. So, you know, series here, series there, more so than, oh, this is the first and second down guy, this is the third down guy. And maybe neither one of them's on the field on third down. You bring another wide receiver out there, maybe another tight end. You go with Kyle Juszczyk as a solo back. Maybe that's how the 49ers are working their third downs this year. Looking at Breida's numbers last year, 4.4 yards per carry. He had 465 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and 21 receptions. So I would say you bump those numbers up a little bit, but I don't think it's going to double or anything like that. You know, 500 to 600 yards maybe as the secondary guy or a sort of a timeshare running back, and then maybe 30 receptions. I'd probably put those kind of numbers on him. Let's say 550 as far as yards and 30 receptions. So a little bump over last year, but I really like that role as the complimentary change of pace back for Matt Breida. Okay, where are we going here? Let's get to one more question. I'm going to stay on Twitter, get to some of you emails tomorrow with Nick, maybe, hopefully. Let's go to a lot of Breida. Let's get something that's a little bit different. Let's go to Leighton. He says, by the way, mahalo for doing this daily podcast. It's always a good listen while driving to work every morning. Thank you very much, Leighton. I appreciate that. His question, if the Niners' only biggest concern going into this offseason is the pass rush, do you think they would go all in for Nick Bosa and try to move up? That's an interesting question. And that was sort of a question some other folks asked me on Twitter when we were talking about the Khalil Mack thing, is it better to have a stud rookie on a rookie contract if you had to trade up with your regular first rounder, then add another first or a second or whatever it would be to move up high enough to draft Nick Bosa, who, yes, is Joey Bosa's brother, plays for Ohio State as well, and looks to be just as good as his brother. And he'll probably be the first non-quarterback drafted in 2019 if he plays like he has been throughout his young career in college. But yeah, that's a good question. Is it better to have a guy on a rookie contract than to go for the veteran and have to pay him $20 million? Or is it better to have that no doubt all pro and throw the money that way? And if you have to trade up to get a stud pass rusher in the draft next year anyway, why not spend all that draft capital and get the guy now and bring in someone and go trade for someone like Khalil Mack? So it's a good argument for that both ways. I would say probably not. If you're not willing to really go out there and throw all in and do what it takes to get a guy like Khalil Mack, you probably don't want to do that in the draft either. But Nick Bosa is not the only name. So, and I was surprised that someone like Harold Landry fell to the second round last year. So you never know where the value is going to be and if the 49ers even want to draft the guy when he's sitting there. But there are some other names. I'm going to throw a couple names out. And actually, as we're speaking right now, Brian Burns, number 99, plays for Florida State, is going off in that game. Had a nice little spin move for a sack. He's going to be one of the better edge type athletic pass rushers in next year's draft, most likely, and kind of has a similar style and a similar, you know, height, weight, speed situation. Might be a little longer than Harold Landry, but Brian Burns from Florida State is a name to monitor. And then another guy, Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, a little bit longer guy. If he can add a little bit of bulk to his frame, because he's a little bit he's long and lean, but he's got some power elements, some counter moves that he can pull off as an edge rusher. I really like him, longer player. And so maybe he's someone that, you know, has room to be bigger. And if that's what the 49ers want, is still someone who has more of a power element, but is also a speed rusher. Maybe Montez Sweat is someone that the 49ers would be interested next year out of Mississippi State. So those are a couple of names to monitor this college football season if you're looking for pass rushers for the 49ers. And of course, yeah, Nick Bosa is going to be, I think, the guy who's long gone, hopefully, for where the 49ers are drafting next year, because he's going to be probably the first non-quarterback selected. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for those questions. There's a whole bunch more I didn't get to. I apologize, but I'm going to try to get to some more on tomorrow's show with Nick, and then I'll keep doing mailbag segments. If people keep asking questions, and a lot of those are the same, so I think I did answer some of those because there's a lot of running back questions and a lot of pass rush questions. Those are the things that are on 49ers fans' mind right now, and I think for good reason. All right, I'll be back tomorrow for Winky Wednesday right here on Locked On 49ers.